Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's Sony Open. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Rick. Looking forward to the Sony this week. It's a really good field, which is exciting. Cool golf course. Big difference from last week, and we got some really good players here.
I think this is, I'll have to go look at the numbers and all that stuff, but I think this might be the strongest field the Sony Open has ever had, or at least for a long time.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. I think these guys having the opportunity to take some time off in the fall, they're itching to go. And what a better place. I mean, is there a better place to get started than Hawaii? So pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. And I know the fans are, because they now have the power to individually cast their one and done selections, which they did so beautifully last week, over 700 different users. You can still get involved. There is a link in the description. You'll just start a little bit behind everybody else. But if you've been in since last week, make sure to get your picks in again and continue to roll out. Greg, we were just kind of talking about who the one and done play of the week is. I don't know if we've hammered anything down.
No, I don't think we have. I have an idea in mind, but there's one that I'm very curious about. It's not the one we were talking about before the show. It's somebody else.
But
I don't know how much risk. I don't know how much star power I want to throw into this week. You know, that's kind of where my head is. But how many events do we have this season? 39?
I thought it was 31. Because like you don't do the opposite field events or whatever.
Right.
I thought the number was 31.
So you don't have to go crazy. Right. You could go. I mean, who are the 31 best players? You're going to get most of the 31 best players in. So it's not like we used to do it with the wraparound, and that can get crazy. So I think you have some flexibility. I think you could take a chance. I think you can go with one of the big names. It still could be very worth it. But I think there are a couple of other kind of next tier down guys that could be really good plays.
Okay. Well, we will reveal our official one and done selections on Tuesday's mega preview pod. The submissions to run your pool are not due until this tournament tees off on Thursday. Okay, Greg, you mentioned the differences between last week's plantation course and this week's Wailea Country Club. So we are moving from Maui to Oahu. This is played in Honolulu. And Troy, if you want to share my screen, I've got the scorecard up here. When you think of Wailea, what comes to mind?
Flat, beautiful. And it's not very long, but I think it can play pretty difficult at times. There are plenty of tough holes. You know, one thing that happens at Kapalua, you don't really see guys in a lot of trouble. there's not a lot of spots that it are, oh boy, that looks like it's real trouble. When you get here to Wailea, it's not like there's, it's not like Florida where there's trouble everywhere, but there is, you know, the rough can be difficult to predict. Being Bermuda rough, it's not that long, about what, 3 inches or so, which is pretty healthy for Bermuda and gives guys a challenge. So you have much flatter greens. They can get really firm and fast. Controlling your ball into these greens becomes a real test. And of course, just like last week, you're going to have to make some putts out here.
Yeah, you are going to have to make some putts. And I'm glad you mentioned it. You know, on the surface, 3 inches of Bermuda grass, it doesn't look that bad, but it does cause kind of fits. And then the stats back that up as, you know, missing the fairway, you can get into some trouble around here. But it is only a par 7,044 yards. And we have seen the shorter hitters find a way to have success. It's not the only path here, Greg, but a full field event at the beginning of the year where everybody's kind of live, I think it is more difficult to handicap this event than others, which I think kind of goes back to the conversation you were having about one and done saying, hey, you know, I don't know if I want to use like a big dog out of the gate right here, because I think there is a lot of natural variance built into this event.
Yes. And again, like you said, everybody's live. So when we look through rickrungood.com or trying to find the guys who are playing the best, it's hard to get a real idea of that. And, you know, you don't know what guys have been doing during the offseason. You don't know how hard they've been working. I heard Johnson Wagner talking about a win that he had here before, and he came to the Sony Open knowing he was going to win. He had never been more prepared, but he had a really focused offseason. He got in the gym. He got himself in shape. He played at Kapalua, and he came to Wailea expecting to win. And those are the kind of things that you can't see on a stat sheet. So, yeah, everybody's live. You can take, and probably should, if you're especially in a, you know, big tournament trying to take home a big GPP, you probably got to take some chances on guys that maybe weren't in good form in the fall and hope that they found something. For our purposes here, I don't really like analyzing on hopes. But there may be some guys with good course histories. There may be guys that are good course fits who maybe we haven't seen in a while, who I think are still very live.
I follow the saying, hope is not a strategy, Greg. So that's right in my wheelhouse. And it's as if there wasn't anything else we could kind of pour into this bowl, you get a lot of the new guys, a lot of the KFT grads who are now going to have their PGA Tour card for the very first time. Guess where they're making their debut? Right here at Wailea. So it's just, again, I said it before, this is a very difficult one to figure out.
Yeah, and those guys, as you see when we go through our brackets, they're probably not going to be names we've circled. Because like you said, hope is not a strategy. I think that's very well said. And I will probably steal that from you. And if you're lucky, well, for the first couple of months, I'll credit you for it. And then we'll see. Eventually, it'll become mine. That's how it works. But once we get past the statute of limitations, so these new guys probably aren't going to be on my list. But like I said, to take down, there's probably going to be one or two of them that pop up on, near the top of this leaderboard, and they could be really valuable assets. It's just really hard to figure out which one it's going to be. So there's not going to be many in my the names that I give out today, but it doesn't mean that they're not worth taking a look at.
All right. Well, we've got work to do because there's a lot of players in this field and we got to start naming names. We will do just that. But first, we are going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back. This is my website, rickrungood.com. If you are watching on YouTube, if you're listening, that's what I'm showing. And this is the cheat sheet. There are four golfers over $10,000. Ludvig Åberg at $10,500. Terrell Hatton, $10,003. Matt Fitzpatrick at $10,200. And Sahith Theegala, fresh off of his runner-up finish last week on Maui, rounds us out at an even $10,000. Greg, let's spend a lot of our money. Let's do it at the top.
And I think you do it right at the top, because Ludvig, the best thing that happened for the Saudi Open DFS players is Ludvig finishing T47 last week.
That's exactly right.
It's fantastic. And if you saw that he shot 77 and it worries you, be worried.
Be terrified.
Be terrified. Stay away. But I will not be staying away. I said on Saturday, I think it was Saturday, that it was Saturday. I gave him a complete pass.
Yeah.
And he went out and shot 64 on Sunday.
That's right.
We're not going to spread that to the masses, but he did shoot 64 on Sunday. So I don't think there's anything broken in Ludvig's game. You look at these past results. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it on Rick's page right now. Everything except for last week is top 25 finishes. His off the tee performance is dominant and could very well be the best on tour. He hasn't had enough time to prove that yet, but it has nothing to do with how he's performed off the tee. It is a cheat code. And here at Wylie, that is extremely important. Accuracy is important, probably more important than distance. But when you can hit it as long and as straight as Ludvig, I circle this name and I circle it twice.
Yeah, so this will get nerdy for a second, but I'll make it quick. The Wylie Country Club, if you miss the fairway, you lose about 0.18 strokes every time you do that. If you hit the ball farther than the driving distance average for that hole, you pick up about 0.15 strokes. So it behooves you to be very accurate. It behooves you to be very long. If you are long and accurate, you are playing a different golf course than everybody else. And it's really no surprise that Ludvig did not flex his driving muscle last week, Greg. I mean, Max Homa just hit the longest drive in ShotLink history. JJ Spawn is out there, last year bopping 450-yard drive. There's a reason that he doesn't get to flex his muscle, because everybody gets the benefit off the tee last week. That is not going to be the case this week.
Right. And sometimes if you're shorter and you're landing a ball a little higher up on the hill, you may get a little more moment. You end up with more roll. It becomes advantageous at times. So there's some things that get a little strange at Wailea with driving. It almost makes that strokes gained off the tee column. And you could argue strokes gained approach column near irrelevant at Kapalua, but it's very relevant here at Wailea. And I expect Ludvig to come right back to form and win.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm with you, buddy. So $10,500 for Ludvig, then the pair of Englishmen in the middle and Sahith down at the bottom. I probably go Ludvig, Fitzpatrick, Hatton, Sahith. I think Sahith really benefits from the setup last week off the tee. I do think he's getting better, Greg. I think he's getting more consistent. I think the rest of his game is getting much sharper, but there's not going to be a lot of courses. This is not going to be one of them where you can spray it without regard for accuracy and get away with it like you did last week.
I probably put Sahith above Hatton, but I agree that Fitzpatrick's in the second spot. I just think Sahith has gotten so much more consistent.
Yes.
And the notion that we have about him spraying it off the tee is still there, but I'm totally with you. It's gotten a lot better. And he's one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. He is a very good putter, can get very hot, and that's a big benefit here at the Sony. So I still think Sahith is playable. I don't generally like playing guys coming off a really emotional week, the week prior. It's just something. It happens. They perform well. I generally back off after a really, really high performance week like he had last week. That's just my personal preference.
Sahith has played this event once. It was 2 years ago. He finished T48. He lost 8.5 strokes ball striking. He gained 8 in the short game categories. I think he is a much different player than he was 2 years ago. Yeah. I don't, even if that was flipped, I don't think I would have really cared. He is one of the few that I really try to live in the moment with because I think he's improving constantly.
I do too. Now I've been wrong on him a lot, but he's getting easier to be right on because he's getting a lot more consistent.
Yeah.
So I think he's worth a play. Where Hatton, on the other hand, talked about him not feeling very good with his long game. And you could see because he was able to perform well, that it didn't really separate what happened in the long game, the golf course. And he made a lot of putts. So that's why one of the reasons why he was able to get himself up into the mix. So I'm less faithful with Hatton. But Fitzpatrick, we both have him in the two spot. He may be an interesting guy this week. If you're going to pivot off of Ludvig, if everybody follows our advice and ignores Ludvig 77 and plays him, I think Fitzpatrick could be a really good pivot.
I love that he has just continued to play once or twice every month all year long. He's continued to play well. He is much better off the tee now than he's ever been. He's a scorching hot putter. The short game is there. I do want to throw this out to you, Greg, because the 10K range, Sahith finished T48 2 years ago. Fitzpatrick has never played here. Hatton has never played here. Ludvig has never played here. Is there a care about that? Is there a nuance that experience would be able to uncover about Wailea?
I think these players are ready to figure it out. Now, the interesting thing is there are some guys in this field who have extremely long records here. They play here every year.
Some guys have 10, 11, 12 starts.
I mean, Stuart Sink, it's like a full season of PGA Tour events here. Yeah. You know, through his career. So it is interesting. I don't think any of these guys are automatic as much as I like Ludvig. And I think there's a very real possibility of skipping this range being a good strategy. But I don't think it's because of the course history. I don't think you have locks at the top.
9 golfers in this field have played at least 40 rounds dating back to 2008. So, I mean, 40 rounds, that's
10. Like
10. I mean, it could be
probably 11. You probably missed a cut.
If you've missed a cut or two. So it's a lot. Stuart Sink and Zach Johnson have 60 rounds at Wailea under their belt. Stuart Sink has not missed a year here. Well, he missed 2020 and 2011 and 2008. And that's basically it.
Right.
Yeah.
So he comes here.
He likes it. Yeah, he likes to get
come here often. Yeah, every year,
every single year, likes to get his Hawaiian swing done in January. The 9K range, really interesting here. So Brian Harman, Corey Connors, Eric Cole, Russell Henley, and Chris Kirk sit in the middle. The return of Will Zalatoris, 9,300. I'm not counting the hero. JT Poston, 91. And Hideki Matsuyama, 9,000. We do have guys who have played recently. We do have guys that have played here before. We've got last week's winner. We've got a rookie of the year. We've got a guy who can't putt except for when he comes to Wailea. We got a lot here, Greg.
We got a lot. And you just mentioned with a little tease, a guy who can't putt who, except when he comes here. So let's start there.
Okay.
There are three guys in this range I really like. There probably should be four, but I'll stick with three for now. Corey Connors is one of them. You look at the record here. It's pretty simple. After his first year, every start has been a top 12.
Yep.
He's a guy who can't putt. He's gained strokes putting here every time except last year. He still finished D12.
Exactly.
And you talk about someone who stripes it off the tee and has an ability to or this golf course provides an advantage in that. That is Corey Connors. What do you have for his driving accuracy here?
70. So it's weird. He's actually 78th in driving accuracy.
Yeah.
But when he misses, it is by a very small amount.
Right.
He's one of the better guys from distance from edge of fairway. He does not spray it, and he's longer than. I mean, he's 45th on tour, which in this field he's probably, he's probably like 18th.
Right. So that's kind of your double advantage. He has the ability to hit it long and straight. And is clearly comfortable on this golf course. I think that's one of the big reasons why. I don't like what he's done recently on the greens, to be honest. That's pretty bad.
He's gained off the tee in 17 straight starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's lost a lot
auto
putting in his last four. But
I think you could start your lineup with Corey Connors. If you wanted to fade Ludwig, I'm just as comfortable with Corey Connors as I am with Matt Fitzpatrick here. You know, I don't think there's a huge separation between those two. I like Fitzpatrick more, but not by much. So I think there's a very real possibility and a very live play to start your lineup with Corey Connors. I also, Rick, I think Brian Harman is worth the play too.
I was just going to ask you why Brian Harman hasn't been better here. So
yeah,
he's got 12 starts. It's a lot. His last four are like 32nd, 48th, 56th, 32nd, missed cut. Then it was better before that. He went 4th, 20th, 13th, 13th. So it's not like he's never played well here. And I could make the case, Greg, he's playing the best golf he's ever played right now.
That's really the thing. So again, you look at that record and it's kind of, I don't think it's bad enough to be of concern. It's not good enough to say that you have to play him here. But Corey Connors, you can play here based on his record. Brian Harman, I don't think you can play, and I don't think you can sit based on his record. But you mentioned it. He is playing the best golf of his life. It's continued since the Open Championship. Like, we didn't see this regression. T5 at the BMW Championship. Then you see a T8 at the Hero World Challenge where he played great. And T5 last week at the Century. I mean, that's some really good stuff.
The other thing is, it was not out of the blue at the Open Championship. He went runner-up 9th, 12th leading into that. So it's a pretty big stretch of great golf being played by Brian Harman. The other thing that I like, how did he dismantle Royal Liverpool? Well, he just hit every single fairway. And we know playing out of the fairway, he's not going to be the longest guy in the world, but playing out of every fairway is a statistical edge around here.
And if you consider putting to be a statistical edge, every event since the PGA Championship, with the exception of one,
right,
he's gained strokes putting, and significantly.
Oh my God. Yeah, he fills it up. He absolutely fills it up.
It's awesome. And he did it again last week. So could you start with Brian Harman and Corey Connors? Would you feel comfortable with that? I mean, they're...
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
The most interesting man is Will Zalatoris, in my opinion. $9,300, long-term form, long-term. I'm talking 100 rounds. He's the best player in this field.
Yeah.
He's like the fifth best player in the world over the last 100 rounds. Now, that is when healthy, which, remember, he missed 9 months of 2023 with the back injury that he ended up getting surgery on. He did play the Hero World Challenge, and it was very, very ugly. He gave up 20 strokes to the field. He finished dead last. He lost across the board. I'm willing to be early on Will Zalatoris because I know the ceiling is the best player in this field, but I'm not sure how long I'm going to have to click his name to go from early to on time.
So you mentioned it was at Master. He withdrew from Masters, right?
He withdrew from... Okay, yes. He completed the match play, and then he withdrew from the Masters is what I think I remember.
So the Century Tournament of Champions last year was his first event back after a surgery. So he won in Memphis, had surgery on his back, came back for the, we'll call it Q1 of last year, and then missed another 9 months. So, I mean, those are some really concerning things to me. What we saw at the Hero was ugly. I'm willing to be early on him too, but I think this is too early.
Too early. Okay.
Yeah, I'm watching intently. I think he's the most right up there with the most interesting players in this field.
I agree. I think he is the most interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, possibly Ludwig. I mean, this may be A Star Is Born part two. But Will Zalatoris is a factor, and getting off to a good start this week could put him in position to be a factor in majors like we've expected. But I have my doubts. I like the past 100 round stuff. This could be a completely different player. It's like looking at Sahith.
Yes.
From 2 years ago here at the Sony, different guy.
He also, I think, was, I mean, the actual thing that is most concerning is he talked about how he had to change his swing and stuff.
Right.
To help avoid further injury, which I just hate.
Yeah, you don't like it. That kind of thing takes time. I do believe the ability of someone to control the golf ball, the hands to hit it solid, is something you're not going to lose. But it's taken Tiger Woods a year and a half plus to rebuild his swing and find success with it. To think that Will Zalatoris will get it while recovering from an injury right away, I consider to be far-fetched.
Just to put a bow on that, he withdrew from the Masters prior to his Thursday tee time. So just a few minutes before his Thursday tee. So he did not tee off at the Masters and then, of course, missed that 9 month stretch before coming back at the Hero World Challenge. Okay, there's still a lot here. We've got the Rookie of the Year who refuses to finish outside the top 14. We've got last week's winner who's got a phenomenal record around Wailea. Hideki's here, who won this event 2 years ago. What else can we do?
Poston is the other guy that I really like.
Yeah.
I really like what I'm seeing out of JT Poston. You see what happened since the Open Championship last year was tied second at the 3M Open.
Yeah.
He was in the mix on the 18th hole, tied seventh the next week at the Wyndham, tied 24th at the FedEx St. Jude, tied 22nd at the BMW Championship, tied third at the Shriners, tied 44th at the RSM. And then he comes back with a nice T5 at the Century. And he's done it in two really important ways, approach play and putting. The putting has been outstanding. Now, I'd like him to be a little more accurate. If he was a better driver of the golf ball, he'd probably be the one and done play. He's not. So I don't think he's the one and done play, but I do think he makes it into many of my lineups.
Yeah, I think that if you just took this stat profile, cut out, you know, the names and the finishing positions and gave people like, hey, who is this? I do not think JT Poston's name would come up a lot. This is probably a lot better of a stat profile than most people would think for JT.
Yes. And I think that the results have been a lot better than most people would think for JT Poston.
Yeah. No,
it's been phenomenal.
It's been great.
So I'm really excited about that. It was actually really good before the Open too, the John Deere and the Scottish. So we're going back to July of some really good play. I know I'm skipping over Eric Cole and Russell Henley and Chris Kirk. I mean, you could play those guys.
But you can't play them all, Greg.
You can't play them all. That's the hard thing. So I pulled three guys out of this range. I think it's Harmon and Connors, and JT Poston is my next guy.
I think it's Harmon. I think Cole is kind of in a tough spot because he's pretty inaccurate. I don't know. We'll see. He's proven to kind of be a little immune to a lot of things recently. And I'll be interested to see what people do with Russell Henley. That I think will, you know, if we get to Wednesday and we see like a very low projected ownership number, I could probably get to Russell. But it's a great range. If you want to pile up here and get a lot of golfers, you can't get them all, but you can kind of build, you know, a handful of lineups and get access to a lot of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it's tough because it's a really good section. It's going to hurt to leave off. I mean, it just hurts to not play Eric Cole. It hurts not to play Chris Kirk if he plays well again. You feel like, well, duh. I fortunately have a rule where I don't play the winner from last week.
How has that gone for you?
Well, you know, more often than not, it's the right play.
I will say, and for like 20 years, it was flawless. And then in the last like two, a ton of guys have gone either back to back or win runner up. Like it's
crazy. As soon as I made it public,
when Camilo Villegas won and then, or no, he went runner up win. I was like, oh man.
Yeah. Not enough. I always avoid that stuff. You just don't see a ton of it. But I guess you're seeing more of it. And Chris Kirk was automatic last week.
He was flawless. I thought a Sunday round was almost flawless.
He left a couple of putts short.
Yeah. And I thought on maybe.
What the wedge? 12? The wedge shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weak wedge shot. He hit it like 29 feet.
Other than that, it was flawless. And then when he got to 18, he just played 18 to make par. And it was like, it's over.
Which is such an easy hole when you're playing it, just make par.
Right.
Okay, that's an easy five because you can hit it so far right of the trouble. The only place you can't make five from. You could just hit it away from that.
Yeah.
So
it was flawless.
He did his work by 17.
Yeah, he did. We're going to continue this conversation. We'll go eights, sevens, sixes, get you a little bit of value. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Gregors, we're back, and we've got the 8K range here, and it starts at $8,700 with Benny on, Siwoo Kim, Cam Davis. The middle is your Denny McCarthy and Harris English, and then we round it out with Justin Rose, Steven Yeager, Adam Hadwin, Keegan Bradley. So still a fairly small list of names, guys that kind of, in some cases, struggled last week. We don't know the full extent of state of some of these guys' games. So what do you want to do here in the eights?
I got a couple guys I really like here. One is Ben On.
Okay.
Now, the putter change, I just love. I love a guy that's on Team No Putt going to the long putter.
Do you think I know it's not, it's obviously not cheating. He's not anchoring that to his chest. But it's the same concept. It's basically like a loophole, right? They found a loophole in the system. Bernhard Langer, same thing, right? He gets even closer. But like, it's the same concept. And a half an inch is the only thing that makes it legal.
This kind of goes down a rabbit hole for me. I am not in favor of banning things from the game of golf.
No, me neither. I actually do agree with that.
I look at the anchor ban and it to me targeted like three guys. Yeah. This is a harsh word, but we're just gonna ruin your career.
Yeah, and it's also like because we're smarter than you.
Well,
because we
don't like the way this looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't change the way it looks because there are loopholes like this.
Right.
So I don't mean to bash the governing bodies. I think it's a needless rule. And if you want to putt with a putter that's anchored to your chest, there are a lot of things the way that I teach putting, I think you miss out on some real benefits. You know, the concept that I putt with and teach with is a little bit different than that. That would favor more of an arm lock kind of method. So it's not like it's not cheating. It really works for guys. And Ben On is in this camp where he is an excellent driver of the golf ball.
Excellent.
And I was a little surprised to see his approach play. I think he's a better, I think he can be a better iron player than this column shows right now, which is kind of hit or miss. You know, there have definitely been some events where he's losing strokes approaching the green. But having this new putter as a weapon, I think really benefits him and makes him a really strong play this week. Also, one start here, T12, by the way.
That's exactly what I was going to say. One start here, T12. So $8,700, Benny On. Cam Davis, oh mama, was miserable last week. He finished 52nd, which snapped a really good stretch of golf for him in the fall. Maybe it was knocking rust off. He's got four straight starts here, 32nd or better in every single one. How much of like the first start stuff from last week do we care about? Now, he played a little bit. He played the Australian Open, but he lost 10 strokes from tee to green last week.
It's killing me because my plan coming into the year was this is Cam Sony Open is Cam Davis all the way. And last week was just bad enough where it's making me second guess. I'm a big fan of writing things off when somebody's shown this much rust, but shown this much success. I mean, and then they come in after a little time off and have a rusty start. I worry about this one a little bit, Rick. I don't think I'm going to go the Cam Davis route.
I'm with you too. I'm not nearly as excited about this 8K range as I was the 9K range. So I guess that's how it works. I think Denny McCarthy plays well enough and putts well enough to make a little bit of noise. And I think Keegan Bradley drives it well enough and has historically had a couple of decent finishes around here to get me excited. But I'm not particularly interested in much of this.
All right. I got a couple guys I'm excited about that you didn't mention.
So
one is Harris English.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about Harris English. I think he's healthy, which is a big deal. And he's putted very well here at Wailea as well. Another one of these guys with a lot of rounds here. And, well, he's played, what is this, 10 times, Rick?
11.
11 times? Yes. He's lost strokes putting twice on the golf course. He's got a tied third, a tied fourth. I have a sense that that Harris English is going to have a really good week. He's struggled off the tee here, but he's been driving it well the last couple of starts he's had at the end of last season and now at the beginning of this season. I know Wailea is totally different than Kapalua, but I think Harris English could be right near the top of the leaderboard this week.
I am interested to see. I agree. When healthy, Harris English has always been a very well-rounded, solid golfer, and he's got a couple of spots on tour, which he's had a lot of great success at. So I agree. He's another guy, you know, a couple rungs below Will Zalatoris, but I'll be keeping my eye on because I think it'll tell a larger story about what might come in 2024.
Here's another guy.
Got
the price is fine. The price is right here. It's Steven Yeager.
Mm.
Steven Yeager has been so steady. It's just been all fall. He was just, he was priced too high.
Yeah. He's like $10,000.
Yeah. It's like the third highest priced guy in the field. It's like, okay. Because part of the concern, if you watched the show back then, you know, we talked about this a lot, Rick. Yeah, he's really good across the board, but it's not leading to enough.
Right.
You know, there's not like one lever that needs to get pulled and all of a sudden he's going to win. So I think Steven Yeager is a really safe play. And I think at 8,100, he can be a kind of anchor spot in your lineup, depending on construction. Then you can get a little aggressive, get a little wonky outside of that, but he could be a really, really safe play.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I forgot that he was, you know, three straight starts over $10,000 in the fall, much more reasonable now. He hasn't missed a cut since April.
Right.
And there's plenty of T9s to T20s, which doesn't help you when he's 10,200, when he's 8,100. That's a different story, obviously. So that's interesting.
Yep. So I'm kind of excited about that. I want to get your thoughts. I think I know where you're going with this, but Justin Rose. Mm-hmm. Last week, I mean, it looks really bad. The stats looked really bad, but he got some bad luck. There were some bad breaks. He shot 61 on Sunday. He shot 12 under par on Sunday. That erases some of those big bold red numbers that you see from the century. Is it for you?
I am at least slightly more bullish than bearish on Justin Rose, just because I think he had a really good 2023 that was much better statistically than 2022 was. You know, he used to be very reliant on the short game, not anymore. This turbulence that he has seen just in the last couple of starts, I think is pretty easy to write off to a lot of different things. And if I'm going to be excited about a couple of final rounds or a couple of weekend plays from the century for other guys, I have to at least acknowledge them here for Justin Rose. So all that being said, I'm like a 5.7 out of 10.
I think I'm a little higher than that. And here's the other thing. This course history is stretched over a very long period of time, but it's darn good. He missed the cut in 2006. But other than that, everything's been a top 20, including the second the last time he was here in 2017, tied 13th in 2011, tied 12th in 2010. And his first start here was a tied 20th. So that's a really solid record. Coming off a 61, I think he likes the place. I'm excited about Justin Rose too.
Let's continue this conversation down into the 7K range. The top, a couple of familiar names, Alex Noren, Brendan Todd, Akshay Bhatia. The middle includes Keith Mitchell, Ben Griffin, Aaron Rye. The bottom of the 7K range, Austin Eckroat, Ben Coles, Davis Thompson, among others. Okay, we are getting into savvy vets plus newcomers range, Greg. The known entities, very known entities versus the very unknown entities. So where do you want to start?
I am not as excited about this range as I was about any of the other ranges. And that's almost predictable. There may be some gaps here, but now I think we're going to start taking some chances, okay, right? Taking some leaps of faith. So I want to start off, I just feel like a little respect is due to Akshay Bhatia.
Okay.
I don't love this. In fact, when I was making my notes beforehand, I did not write his name down in the 7K guys that I like. And I'm just wondering if I'm disrespecting a tropical superstar again. Because he had one terrible round on Sunday?
Yeah, the Sunday collapse.
I mean, long putter in play, same situation as Ben on. It just, he was in the final group and it didn't work out. He has, of his nine top tens in Korn Ferry Tour or PGA Tour, six of them are at tropical venues.
It's also a stretch where he's made seven straight cuts. He has one, two, three, four top 21 finishes in his last five starts. If he would have had that round that he had on Sunday, on Thursday, and then played, we'd be very excited about him.
I think so too. So he's worth a look. And 7,800 is a really good price, in my opinion. So I don't want to disrespect him, but let's get to my list, Rick. And how about Luke List again?
Okay. I actually wanted to see what Luke List did with the putter last week, and he did it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be borderline breakout year stuff if he can do this.
Yeah.
Especially at the beginning of the year where, you know, he's going to go back to Torrey, where he's won. And if you hit it like he hits it and you do anything remotely close to zero with the putter, and he's been much better than that, this is a very, very good profile.
He has played here six times. He's missed five cuts.
Yeah, baby.
He has a T13 back in 2017, and that's the only time he gained strokes putting. So I don't think it's a golf course he doesn't like. I think Luke List has been a terrible putter and has figured something out. So I'm willing to go in on that. So now maybe three guys are all in the same thing. Ben on going to a long putter, Akshay going to a long putter, Luke List figuring something out with the putting. Maybe that's too much to go on that theme. But I, in general, I'm very positive on guys who make changes with their putter and it works. I think it gives you a huge boost of confidence.
Yeah, and I've been doing like some season long drafts, and I've been drafting a lot of like late round Luke List because I think it's like, because if this is real, he's gonna make a ton of noise. If it's not, I can just cut him. Like, who cares?
right.
Anybody, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you won't be able to cut him this week, but he's 7,600. You know, yeah. I think that's really worth the price. You look around this range as well. We mentioned Akshay. I like Luke List more than I like Matt Kuchar. I like Luke List more than Adam Svensson. I don't know what to do with Lucas Glover because I kind of like Lucas Glover too. But I'm not sure the putting has stuck. He may have gotten rid of the yips, which is great, but I still think we have an issue on the greens.
I think we have a huge issue. I mean, he made a career in 8 rounds, and he has had 4 good putting weeks in like his last 20 weeks. And those 4, he got everything out of.
Right.
He got a 6th, a 5th, and 2 wins. And now, I mean, he coughed up 6 strokes putting last week.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately vintage Lucas Glover.
Right. Right. And he's played well here. He's putted okay here. But I'm a little worried about it. All right. So I think you've convinced me. I'm going to stay away from him. All right, I got 2 more names for you that I'm pretty excited about.
Okay.
Keith Mitchell.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. Now there's nothing. This is one of those guys, you look at this page and you're not going to see anything very exciting. Right? I don't think last year was a particularly exciting year for Keith Mitchell. But I don't think it was egregiously bad in any regards. I don't think we have an area of deep concern, and we haven't seen him since the RSM. So we're coming off a long off season. His fingerprint as a player is a great driver of the golf ball, which I think fits here. He will have an advantage here. And then you look at his course history here and it's really good. He has 2 missed cuts and everything else. The 4 other starts are top 25 finishes. And I like that profile. I think this is a golf course that suits his advantages. And if he can make a couple of putts, he could contend.
Yeah, no, I agree with most of that. Like long-term DNA, this should be a pretty good spot for Keith Mitchell.
And maybe this is for the guys that didn't play Kapalua, and maybe even those guys too. Maybe that's the way to look at the start of this season. Long-term DNA more so than recent form or what they did in the fall, for instance, because there's kind of a reset. So I think Cashmere Keith could come off hot.
Did you have one more?
Aaron Rye.
Okay, Aaron Rye.
Yeah, played on the DP World Tour a couple times in the fall. Quite well. I also think of Aaron Rye as a pretty good, accurate driver of the ball, kind of a solid ball striker. Not a great record here.
Very accurate. Incredibly accurate.
Very accurate, which catches my attention. Uh-huh. Hasn't figured out the greens here. Maybe 3rd time's a charm.
Yeah, maybe.
But a missed cut in a T61 here. Those would be the concerns. That's why I prefer Keith Mitchell over Aaron Rye, and they're the same price. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Rye in the mix.
Played a lot in the fall. Played 3 times in September, 3 times in October, once in November. So we haven't seen him since the Ned Bank Golf Challenge. That was the 2nd of back-to-back top 10 finishes and 3rd straight top 25 finishes. Ball striking's great, very accurate, just needs to gain like a stroke with the putter.
Yeah, quarter shot around, that's all.
We mentioned a lot of the guys that I like. I will also just point out kind of these, they're not necessarily debuts, but now with their full tour card, Adrien Dumont de Chassé, ADDC, catching a lot of love from those who follow on the Korn Ferry Tour. And I also, Greg, am, you know, these late round flyers I'm taking in season long fantasy golf, getting a lot of Davis Thompson, you know, very highly regarded amateur who I now believe is starting to figure it out a little bit. And the ball striking numbers are coming together. He's made 6 straight cuts, a couple of, you know, top 30s in there as well. I like to see the way he's hitting it. So he's somebody that I've also been pretty bullish on as we head into 2024.
I like that as a late round draft and season long.
Yeah.
I looked at him for this week and was perplexed. That's not the right word. I was interested, curious. Wow, that's pretty good. It's a pretty good stat profile for a guy at 7,000 flat.
Yeah.
So I like that. He didn't make my list, but it's probably just because there's so many guys in the 7K range. Like you said, we can't play them all.
Can't play them all. There's a ton of guys in the 7K range. Then here's the 6K range. So it's KH Lee, Michael Kim, Robert McIntyre, amongst others, at 6,900. The middle of the range, Camilo Villegas, who went from first round leader, or I don't know if he was first round leader. He wasn't. Sahith was, but he was up there after the first round to 50th last week. Will Gordon, Nate Lashley in the middle, and then the min price includes David Lingmerth, Tyson Alexander, Ryan Brem. What do you see out of the 6K range that might be worth snagging?
I think there's a couple guys to look at here. One, another really impressive profile at 6,900 is Vince Whaley. This guy looks, he has looked really good off the tee since the AT&T Byron Nelson in May. He's played some really good golf since then, coming off at T8 in Bermuda, T13 at the RSM. He's putted really well as well. I think you're kind of seeing a complete play out of him. And he's played the Sony Open twice. He has a missed cut and a T17. So I'm curious about Vince Whaley. 6,900. I think we can get better value, though. So we'll, why not go to... Oh, no, that's... Yeah, the next guy for me, Rick, was down a little bit to 6,500. And I have been wrong on him before. I liked him very much when he was a rookie on the PGA Tour. I think you got it.
Matthew Neesmith?
Matthew Neesmith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious about this. T15 at the Zozo, T28 at the RSM. Seems to be hitting it a little better.
Seems to be putting it a little better.
Seems to be putting it a lot better, which is fantastic. Now, we got a reset coming, so I don't know what we're going to get, but I like the value at 6,500.
It's so annoying. I'm sure it's even more annoying for him because when he is playing well, he was literally a top 25 ball striker for a period statistically.
Yeah.
And then he had that run. Was it in like the... Yeah, it was here. It was last fall where he was like on the verge of winning, got the season ended, and he like it took him 6 months to find it in 2023.
Then the season ends again.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah. Very frustrating.
Annoying.
He's probably winning a ton of cash at home. Right.
That's true. Yeah, he's winning a ton of money games.
Yeah, single round money games. So I like Neesmith. I think it's worth it at 6,500. I think Nate Lashley is in a very similar position at 6,500 as well.
Yeah. There's a couple of interesting, I mean, you get Alejandro Tosti, who's played like two PGA Tour events, but kind of crushed Korn Ferry last year. Dylan Wu was statistically one of the most improved golfers from 2022 to 2023. So keep an eye on if that trajectory can continue. Down here, I'm just happy to take like Flyer City, right? I mean, if it's the new guys, that's fine. If it's putting specialists like Harry Hall, who finished 28th here last year, fine. This was already a hard week to figure out. This is the hardest section of the hardest week.
What about Kevin Yu? You had a stat. He was in your write-up for the golf course this week.
Yeah, so he is. So I was looking at kind of just ways that guys separate themselves, and there's two kind of main ways to separate yourselves on the second shot and in. Either you have, you know, most approach shots or birdie approach shots go to like 22 feet. So it's like how often are you hitting it inside of that? And Kevin Yu just stuffs everything. He's just stuffs, and doesn't make any of those putts, unfortunately.
Right. Look at that. I mean, it is so bad.
It's horrible. If it was only like if it was a par three closest to the pin competition, Kevin Yu would be the best player in the world.
Would you be out on him? Are you out on him because of the putt in?
I think you have to be, right. I mean, like,
yeah.
It's so bad. And if you get a normal week from him, he's missing the cut. Like a normal week is not even like T30. it's just, it's total ejection.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got to get a like John Deere Classic where you gain 8 strokes putting out of nowhere.
Right.
I don't like rolling the dice on that. But I thought it was interesting because I got down to 6,300 and his name popped up and I read him in your article. Yeah. I think there's another guy at 6,300 though, who is not really a flyer. I think he's very playable. I'm kind of surprised his price is this low. You're familiar with him. He's warm and comfy. It's Joel Damon. Right. Joel Damon has a pretty good record here. Tied 12th in 2020, tied 22nd in 2019. He has 4 starts here, also a missed cut in 2022 and a tied 73rd in 2018. But he had a tied 7th at the Shriners, tied 13th at the Sanderson, put together some pretty good golf.
He needed to change. His fall was much better.
Yes.
His summer coming down the stretch was pretty horrible. He was losing it everywhere, which is pretty shocking. I mean, he's an accurate,
he's a better player than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can start to see that with the 13th and the T7 in the fall. So, okay. That's actually, I don't mind that one single bit. Good record here, getting back to what you would expect from him. That's very fair.
Yes. At 6,300, I mean, we're going to look in the 7Ks, we're taking chances, right? This gives you a really good opportunity to hammer home on the Brian Harmans and the Corey Connors and those 9K guys where we said, hey, you just can't get all of them. It really helps if you can put a Joel Damon in there at 6,300.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to have to remember that when I start generating these lineups, because that's pretty darn good. Gives you a lot of salary cap relief.
Right. And there's a reason for it, which we like.
Yeah. But it's also not like, I mean, some of these guys, if I say a name, they're going to win, but like Kevin Yu is just an absolute punt. I don't even know what you're expecting to, you know what I mean? It's just Joel Damon is at least, I'll be able to keep my lunch down if I roster Joel Damon.
Right. Right. I completely agree. I think you could be excited about it, quite frankly.
Mav McNeely's back. I saw him the other day. He said he was completely healthy. He's happy that he's going full tilt again, were his words, not mine.
That's good.
Yeah. He's also on a major medical extension. So
yep.
It'll be interesting to see.
Gary Woodland back.
Woodland's back. Yep. So those are guys that maybe they're not, you know, playable this week, but these are, you know, tracking the ebbs and flows. We do this every single week, right? So when we do this next Monday for the American Express, we're going to look back and see what Mav McNeely did this week. And it'll be part of the story. So there's some of the guys I'm keeping an eye on as well.
Yeah. I think Gary Woodland, I forgot to mention him. It's so cool that he's back.
Yeah.
And I was looking at some of his, what was his price?
I thought I saw him in the $7,000.
Yeah, I think that's right. 7,100. And you just click on this profile. It's just dominant ball striking.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was doing last 100 rounds because I was writing something up on Will Zalatoris. So it was like, last 100 rounds ball strikers. And it was, you know, Scotty and Patrick Cantlay and Colin. And then it was, I think it was Will Zalatoris and Gary Woodland were like 5 and
right.
6. Yeah.
Crazy. It's so good. And then this unfortunate situation happens. I'm just so glad he's back and playing. I'm too worried to play him in DraftKings, but I'll be watching closely.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys that are, I'll put them on my whiteboard and I'll keep an eye on them after each round and see where they're headed. But yeah, this is a fun one. We're going to get a cut sweat, Greg, right? We're going to get a Friday night cut sweat. We are going to get a full field winner. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Again, it's a good field. There's a good mix. And the cut. I love the cut.
The cut.
I love the cut. The first cut's the best cut.
That is true. The first cut. Remember they used to have MDFs and there was a second cut?
Oh. The worst.
Whose idea was that?
I love not having MDFs.
God, the MTF.
You ever see those posters like or picture little pictures? I love not camping.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I love those things.
I love
this is I love not MDF.
Very cool. All right. Well, listen, we will be back Tuesday, Mega Preview Pod. That's storylines, picks, best bets, one and done. Our one and done selections will be revealed at that time. You guys have until Thursday when this thing tees off, and then we'll be back Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday evening-ish for those in the East on the East Coast, because the boys are in Hawaii, and that is how time zones work. So for now, big thanks to producer Troy, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme, available at The Real GFD. And you can find me at Rick Rungood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.